tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Carmina Mahagat, Pat, and welcome along to the second hour of Tip Today. Huge response, absolutely huge, to Edward's brief chat with me. Let me just give you a taste of what's coming into us, because it is rather mixed. Hi, Fran, that man is so behind the times. First of all, as a mother of two, I always worked outside of the home, and my husband and I were a team when it came to the children and home. I did have difficulties with the first birth, and my husband had to leave the delivery room. But on my second, the gynecologist asked my husband if he would like to help deliver the baby. He was so overwhelmed by the birth that he immediately said he had the greatest respect for what women go through, and that baby is now 33. My husband still talks about it with great pride. Thank God times have changed, and men as well. Thanks, Fran, from a listener in Thurles. Another listener says, good morning, Fran. A journey from Ellen Park in Clonmel. Just because times are changing doesn't mean that we all have to change with them. We all have our own beliefs and what we were brought up with. It's up to every individual to understand the value of life. Life is short, Fran, and bickering over who's doing what and who's going to be at the birth. To me, the most important person at the birth of a baby is the mother. Thank you, Fran. What a sensible man. As a mother of three grown-up children, I totally agree with Edward. We in my day had no husbands with us in the delivery room. I hate to hear women whinging. Keep up the good work, Fran. Billy Fitzgerald, my old friend Billy, was on to say, Fran, that man is a disgrace in what he said. Somebody else saying, as a 70-year-old woman, I agree with that man. An awful lot of pussyfooting around. And if the truth be known, men would rather not be at the birth. Now, that's making a very interesting point, I think. Because, okay, lots of people on lambasting Edward, and that's fine, and that's grand too, and I'm sure he doesn't mind, and it's not going to keep him awake tonight. But there are a lot of men out there who they would prefer not to be at the birth, I'm sure. And some of them making contact with us as well. Jimmy was on to say, Fran, my children always come running to me when they're looking for money. Oh, I know that feeling. Joe Noble was on to say, my good friend Joe says, Jesus, Fran, if I was living with him, I'd feckin' flatten him. The idiot is living in the Stone Age. Feckin' Egypt. Somebody else saying, I think it's fantastic that he had the experience that his children were born healthy, but that's not the case for everybody. My child was resuscitated for 5 minutes before they got a pulse. And if the father wasn't there, he would have missed everything. He was also a huge emotional support to me during that short time. Mental health is always something that's preached about in this country. But here's another example of backwards Ireland. Somebody else saying, get him off, Fran. Another listener, why is that man talking about what women need in labour? It should be the wife and the husband's choice, and they shouldn't be made out to be weak. What if something goes wrong? And Patrick on to say as well, totally disagree with that man. Somebody else, Fran, would you tell that man to shut up and go and have a cup of tea? I agree 100% with him. We're all getting soft, says John, who's in lovely Clock Jordan today. And just a couple of what's coming into us on WhatsApp as well. The man is stuck in the dark ages. Jim says, Fran, I'll sit on the fence, but the man may be right for some. And let me see. What else have we got? Ah, no, Fran. That's what's wrong with the world. Men like him, so old-fashioned and such a closed mind. His remark about autism, an absolute disgrace. Shame on him, says Jody. And one more, and it says here, God help his poor wife. Hope she has the chains off now and allowed to wear shoes. So there you go. That's just a taste of what's coming into us today, because we've been inundated with calls, WhatsApp and a text following our chat with Edward. Now, we've been following the progress of songwriter Seamus Doran's musical project centred around the centenary of the decade of revolution. And the latest song in his collection tells the story of the great Sean Hogan. And if you were listening yesterday, I spoke to historian John Connors about the life and times of Sean Hogan. And in fact, in just a while, I have a real treat for you, because we'd be speaking to Sean Hogan's grandson, would you believe. But back to Seamus Doran and his project. I chatted to him recently in Burrisally about the new song. But first of all, he reminded me about the project itself.
It goes back to maybe some of the songs I'd originally written I suppose the first one being Thomas MacDonald in 1916 and the Ballad of Michael Hogan. And I was saying, with coming towards the decade of revolution, to be lovely to put six or seven songs together. Mm. And I would have felt people would have maybe viewed the contribution of Tipperary people to that whole period, particularly around the War of Independence, and maybe from the period of around the lockout 1913 up to the Civil War, through probably the lives of six men, as I mentioned, MacDonagh, Michael Hogan, and then I was saying probably Dan Breen, Dinny Lacy, Sean Hogan, and Sean Tracy. And I was thinking of putting a suite of songs together as part of this sort of remembrance project, yeah. And along came COVID. And so I suppose, as you know, with the music business then, we were snookered with money and having crowds and launches. And I approached Mick Smith as a Cahir look at the council. And so he was very taken, and he thought it was huge merit in the project. And even though we couldn't continue, there was other aspects of this I wanted to do, but maybe just even get the six songs recorded. Yeah. And so he approached John McGrath, CEO, and they agreed to give a grant towards the recording. So this is where we're at. So we're ready with the first one, to Sean Hogan. And that's
I mean, we heard from John Connors on the programme yesterday, the story of Sean Hogan. But of course, not just the story, but some of John's insight into the man and indeed to the time and perception of the man and all of that. But when you get to write a song, of course, you have limited space and limited time to tell the story. How do you get around that?
Yeah, it is, and I'd really like to acknowledge John. Like, it was fabulous listening to him yesterday. Mm. And like, his heart is so much in this. And, yeah. and a definite point of reference for me. And I'd have to thank him too for all the phone calls he took off me, because I wanted to get this right as well. Do you know, as I've often said to you before, you can write a song about Jack and Jill going up the hill and falling in love, but when you begin to do something about history, you have to be as correct as is possible.
Yes.
And there's probably a little bit of room for maybe poetic license, but
but the facts have to be the facts.
And I suppose what I wanted to do, particularly with these six songs, maybe bring a more accurate picture of the six people. And I suppose the whole thing around Sean Hogan, the thing I felt was there's a huge sense of sadness, even after reading John's book and stuff I would have known myself from, you know, my own history and going to school. And I was just thinking, as I started writing, he was rescued on his 18th birthday. And I was bringing, you know, with stuff like this, you can bring it to your own life. So you're saying 18 and there's people shot beside you. So I have two nephews, say Josh and Lee, if they're listening in, and the two of them are gone to minor this year.
Right.
Now, they would think they're men, but realistically, they're still kids.
Yeah,
and I was just saying, the effect on one of them, if there was people shot beside them and you're handcuffed and it's broken off with a cleaver, and you have to go over the Galtee Mountains and whatever happened.
And the possibility you were going to be executed.
Well, exactly, yeah. And with my counsellor's hat on, and I would be doing addiction counselling, working with people with intellectual disability. And I think John touched on it yesterday, was his mental health.
Yes.
Like, it has to have an impact. And I suppose at the time, you're looking at maybe a type of ability kid, sort of a bravado type thing. Mm. And I think it stuck with him.
Yes.
And this was the thing I had with Sean Hogan, that sort of Billy the Kid, nearly by being rescued that day, he was plunged into sort of nearly immortalised.
Yes, of course. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And yeah, there's probably no escaping him. He couldn't do anything about it.
And then how do you live up to that?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I found about the whole research for the song was, and I wanted to try and reflect that.
Yes.
In the lyrics and
Hogan from Granan, of course. So the home places in there as
And to get that in and maybe the different stages of his life. And then you have a problem when you start a rhyming scheme, you're asking, and you have limited time, and probably with airplay you have to stay somewhere around the 4 minutes
for a ballad. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so difficult enough. But I would feel, Fran, too, maybe for us, like, obviously God gave me some little bit of talent for writing songs and you for doing the radio thing, and I think it's incumbent on us all that in 100 years' time or 150 years' time, people can look back and see, what did we do in Tipperary for the centenary? Yeah. Like, people did it 100 years ago when they had no laptops or radio presenters are. I couldn't bring John Connors.
It's a very good point. I hadn't thought about it like that. But there is a bardic tradition to this, which is the acknowledging these people in story and song. And it's great to continue that on. When you get a song then, and you decide, okay, I have the song, now I have to get it recorded, and more importantly, I have to choose somebody to sing it. So how did you go about that?
I'm fairly good at, I think, is picking a singer, and I nearly know when I write a song, but I just felt this song. The whole life of Hogan struck me as sort of, there was a huge element of loneliness around it, and maybe someone that needed to be loved, but couldn't allow himself to be loved, maybe. And I felt it was for a female voice, and when I had it finished, Deirdre Scanlon just... I just, I would have met Deirdre initially probably as, you remember the end of Paddy O'Brien's, probably everyone knew from the time Deirdre was young she was going to be, but just a lovely, pure, that pure, gentle
voice.
Would have, you know, through various friends in music then, like Eileen O'Brien and the Kinslers and Old Sessions and the Railway, she featured on the first CD I did with 10 of my own songs. She sang The Green Bottle, and she did the last Tipperary one as a duet with my brother Aidan. So, and she's also an accomplished fiddle player, and for someone so talented, she's really humble, and I think she brings that sort of gentleness and humility and so obliging, you know. And I just felt it suited, and the minute she heard it, she sort of fell in love with it. So,
very good. Well, we're going to have a listen to it now. But, I mean, in terms of this becoming available to people and these songs becoming available to people, Seamus, when?
I suppose everything still hinges on the whole thing around the COVID. I really am grateful, even though I've said it already, to Michael Smith and John McGrath. At least we have them recorded. Please God, the end of June we'll look at the Sean Tracy one, and at the end of July we'll hopefully have the Dinny Lacy one, and that'll be the six together, and then I'll try and have the seventh ready, which will be the reflective one on the Civil War. So my vision down the road, we'd be able to put them on CD together and possibly have a concert, and maybe we could do a bigger project than just a CD and the concert, that we might have maybe a day event with maybe people like John maybe speaking on these individuals.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Yeah, maybe a photo exhibition or... Yeah. Do you know, there's so much we could do if there was no COVID.
Right. Wouldn't that be great?
But that's the vision.
In the meantime, let's have a listen to Deirdre, and this is Hogan from Brennan, from what will be that future project. Seamus, is always a pleasure. Thanks a million, Frank.
When winter's night in Grandad's house, we sat around the fire, looking through old photographs, who's this I did inquire. Oh, that's someone I used to know before your life began. A fearless Tipperary boy, young Hogan from Greenan. Our country suffered so much then from British tyranny. Tips before they led the fight to set old Ireland free. Sean Tracy, without family, he lived alone, a troubled, broken man, but still remained that rebel boy, young Hogan from Greenham, but still remained that rebel boy, young Hogan from Greenham. With teary eyes, Grandad said, some wars just can't be won, and from those inner demons, he was always on the run. An early gift on Christmas Eve, his race was finally run, and got to comb that gouty boy, young Hogan from Greenham.
Ah, it's just gorgeous, isn't it? Brand new song from Seamus Dorn there, tribute to the great Sean Hogan, and sung beautifully there, beautifully by Deirdre Scanlon.